Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150 939 is the number. 939 is the station. And people, you better know that number. I know you need an emotional Monday like I need an emotional Monday. But that's why we're here. Steve Rubbage in the building, Brian Hall in the booth.
It's definitely going to be an interesting Monday because there is I think there's going to be a little bit of a I don't know if it's a split down the middle, but I think there's an 80-20 split on how people feel coming off this weekend. So, actually, I am predicting a flip in argument today. Not argument, but discussion amongst us and the fan base. Or the fan base, this fan base. Because I think for 2 weeks, I think we argued one thing. I think we may
be
on the other side of it now. So
what's the saying? A change in data, a change in information?
Yeah, so it's going to be kind of interesting to see how this flows, man. So, but we'll get to it.
Brian Hall in the booth. Brian, what's going on, my man?
Nothing too much. I'll tell you what side I'm on. I'm on the side that's pretty happy about what I saw. I mean, overall. I mean, obviously, you never want to say you're happy with a loss, but
right.
Going with all things considered, going into that game, I'm happy with a 12-7 performance and the defense looking solid.
Brian could not hold his water.
No, no, no. I wanted to tell Marcus as soon as I got in here. He's like, hold it for the air.
Right. I'm like, Brian, there is always so much to break down on a Monday.
There's a lot more I can get into.
Like,
that's just
the defense, I'm okay with the win. Yeah, we're going to be doing this an entire week.
Well.
But there's a lot of other good things going on in the city as well. Louisville City FC, I wanted to give them a shout-out because they won the Eastern Conference Finals and they're heading to the championship game – or they're heading to the Eastern Conference Finals. So that's good for them. We got a World Series that's getting ready to get started tomorrow. And my Minnesota Vikings lost, so everything seems right in the world right now.
Well, it's game day for the Cowboys, so the Andy Dalton era is starting today.
Is it officially underway?
It's officially underway because, like I said, the Giants are just – terrible. So it's like, I don't know if that down the stretch, if that, how that was. So tonight we'll get to see kind of how the Andy Dalton era goes.
How do you think that's going to go?
By the way, Will Smith for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Shout out Will Smith, man.
How do you think that's going to go, Steve?
I think he'll be fine. I think Brian said it just right. He'll be fine. Not great. There's a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
I think it may be one of those cases. The upcoming schedule for the Cowboys is pretty favorable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he could win some games here, and it may not look aesthetically all that much better.
Right.
So
you want me to kind of – I know you don't like this comparison, but he's going to kind of remind you of like the Tony Romo era because I think he's going to put up some numbers basically just because of the offense that he's in, and he's a starting caliber quarterback, but he's really – but do you want him to be your starting caliber quarterback for your team to go to the Super Bowl? Not necessarily, but,
no.
But due to the offense, he's going to put up some numbers.
But you signed him for this exact reason. Because if you didn't sign him, like when we signed him, I was like, yeah, that's cool, but whatever. I mean, he's not, you know.
Right.
But it would be like tank the season right now if you hadn't signed him. So, but we'll see. I don't know. Kyler Murray might run all over him tonight. I mean, the secondary for the Cowboys is just the worst of all time. So,
let me throw this one in here.
Shout out Lions, by the way. Well done.
Good job.
I know. I was rooting for him. We had a good heart-to-heart yesterday, and I was like, no, let's be serious, man.
You're right.
I was really pulling for him.
Yeah,
I was happy. I was genuinely happy when I got out of church and saw the score already so good. So good now. The Lions are another team, real quick. I didn't mean to cut you off, but they might go on a nice little win streak here, man.
Swift looked good.
Yeah, they got a heck of a schedule coming up. So
here's the other thing. Here's this other little thing going on. No, it's not going on. It's just a little footnote nugget that we'll throw in here.
All right. Just get it all out now, because once we start on this football thing,
Shout out to women's soccer, 1-0 over Virginia Tech. Throw that one in there.
Very well. Good job, guys. Ladies.
Okay, so Steve, Cowboys tried to make a move. Just a little move in the quarterback room.
They did.
Remember that?
Yeah. They just this week.
What move was that?
They tried to go to the Lions and off the practice squad, they tried to pluck David Blough.
Brian Hall, where do we know that name, Dave? Don't type it in.
I'm really trying to think about it. I know the name.
Where do we know the name David Blough from?
I want to say Georgia Tech.
It's okay to miss it.
David Blough.
And you also will slap yourself when you get it. You'll be like, dang it.
David Blough.
Do you know who they ended up with, by the way? The Gilbert dude from Texas. You remember, like, when Colt McCoy went down at Texas,
right,
and they had Gilbert.
He stayed. Jerry Jones, he stayed with his Texas boys, don't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure Gilbert hadn't played in 5 years.
Texter, 9875, good job.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, Steve. Okay. That name, David Blough. Look, Brian can help himself.
Yeah, I just saw.
Is he from Purdue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, people, what is interesting about Purdue and David Blough? There's two guys that do local radio. Go by the name Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage. They told you that what you saw this one magical year at Purdue,
yeah,
was...
I hate to step on that, man. That was more your point. I mean, I'll take a little credit because I agreed with it.
Yeah,
so, like, I was like, yeah, you know what? Now that you say that, you're right. But you really jumped on that one early.
And I told people, I said, yeah, hey, all y'all, that Purdue thing is working the way it works because David Blough got game on the low.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know
who. He was good.
Yeah, I don't know who doesn't want to admit this, but he got game.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get him out the league.
Yeah.
Just a little old.
Well, the Lions.
Six-year quarterback at Purdue. And you remember that next year when they started getting wasted? I said, yep. OG offensive line and David Blough can steal you a win or two.
Yeah. The Lions matched it. They wouldn't let him go.
Right.
Brian, will you do me a favor real quick? Will you grab intern Aiden real quick? Just and bring him in here. We need to crown him real quick.
Yeah, let's get this out the way.
I'm taking advantage of this now.
Good call.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah. Perfect. This would be great. He's like me.
Yeah. If people don't know, these are important, necessary steps. Like to protect. You know,
interns around here are
they're susceptible to bullying.
Yes.
Is that good way to phrase it?
Yeah. So. So we have intern Aiden.
Intern
here.
Aiden, this is what I need you to do.
Yeah.
No, you're intern Hulk, though.
Well, we'll crown him.
I want
that
you
in
to
second.
Introduce yourself. Yeah. Introduce yourself.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. This is intern Hulk.
There it
no,
is.
You're not intern Hulk yet. You're still your government Christian name. What is it?
Mm-hmm. That's your last
name. My name is Aiden Delaney.
Oh, there you go.
Aiden Delaney.
Well, now you know it's Hulk. Now you know.
Okay.
What's your social?
Give us important information, your thoughts on the football game, the Notre Dame-Louisville game.
So growing up as a Notre Dame fan, I personally felt that Louisville definitely had the...
You're good.
He's messing the... Yeah, you're good. You're good. You got it.
Sorry, he can't hear y'all.
So
throwing him off every time he sees y'all talking.
Oh,
and then he's trying to hit the mic off
tell
to hear
to ignore,
you all. And y'all
us.
Cutting him off. Just let him talk.
Okay,
you got let us. The intern talk.
You got it.
Okay, I got you. It's all good. If y'all can't get it going, don't worry about it. If you can't.
No, we're good. We're good. He's going to take a break, all right?
Okay. All right. We'll fix it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I want to tell everybody about a little conversation I had with our intern.
Okay, fair enough.
Sorry. Thanks for that, YouTubers. We will get that. We'll get that sound going in about 3 minutes. Okay. We had a conversation, a pre-show conversation.
Right.
I asked him, what did he think about the game? And I hate that he didn't get to do this himself. I said, you know, what do you think about the game? He says, I grew up a Notre Dame fan.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I'm like, okay. You know, he's like, yeah. You know, I said, where'd you grow up at? Or where'd you spend your youth time at? He said, Indiana.
Yeah. Right?
So I said, okay, so you have an outside perspective.
Right.
So he says, oh, man. He's like, we knew Notre Dame was going to lose this game. I said, what? He said, oh, no. Louisville had him.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Let me backtrack. You know what I asked him first, Steve? I said, when you watched that game, were you waiting for Malik to throw an interception or for Louisville to fumble and Notre Dame pull away?
Yeah.
Or were you thinking Notre Dame was going to do something, make a big play to win the game? I asked him that.
Right.
He said, oh, no. He said, oh, no. Look, I knew Louisville was going to win that game.
Right.
I knew Louisville was going to win that game.
It's fair.
I said, really? Well, you know, why'd you say that? He said, man, I've been watching Notre Dame, you know, for all these years. He was like, Louisville had him. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, we were surprised that Notre Dame, you know, made a couple plays.
Right.
I said, really? I said, what do you think the difference is, you know, between locally? He said, I don't know, man. Local people are just crazy about it.
Yeah.
So I said, you mean to tell me exactly what I said this weekend in the postgame show? And nationally, everyone knew Louisville was dominating that game.
Yes.
Everyone knew it.
Yeah.
They knew their defense was dominating. They knew because the game plan, whatever they're doing, whatever Louisville's doing, is got Notre Dame's number.
Yeah, that's fair.
Nobody around here thought that, outside of a couple people.
Nobody here, nobody here thought that.
Right?
But regardless, man.
You understand what I'm saying? The point I'm making, it was interesting to hear the 100% outside, kind of outside point of view, and Notre Dame fan know that Louisville had the number on that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll say this. I said last week, so we can start here at last week.
Mm.
I said last week, I felt like... I felt like coming out this week.
Did we just ruin the debut of Intern Hulk? Brian, did we just ruin Intern Hulk's debut?
I think you did, guys. Y'all flustered it real quick and easy. It was partly partly my fault because I didn't have a headset plugged in, so we were trying to turn the mic on and off for him, and I think that was kind of confusing.
So it is
but
true
then,
you don't listen
I
to us.
I think he got flustered because Pat came in to load a spot, and then Process came in to watch, and I'm standing over top of him, and so there's like four people in the room, and he can't hear you guys talking to him.
There's a lot happening.
So that means you really don't listen to us the entire show.
I do.
Okay, so Steve.
Ryan's like, I don't have headphones.
I can hear it just fine. I know how to work it.
Oh, okay, so Steve, digesting the game. Okay, 81-50, 93-9, open lines, 38-31, 93-9. Overview digestion of the game.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. I said last week, I feel like they'll come out ready to play. I'm listening to the coaches. The coaches are saying
best week of practice
we've had since we've been here. The defensive coaches especially. I mean, you're hearing these things come out of the office over and over. And then I said this also. I feel like Louisville fans have a little bit of a confidence with Notre Dame.
Mm.
Like you feel like, hey, there's something about this. We can get these guys, you know, because, I mean, I don't know if it's just past games or whatever. But
let me ask you this. Notre Dame tightened up.
Maybe.
They tightened up their play calling.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about everything that went into it. Before the game starts,
Texter Clark is a stud.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about what we learned from this in general. But I mean, you get over there, it's 2:30. Now they're talking about, hey, you know, the wind is tough here, you know, right now. There's some things going, so you're tightening things up a little bit.
Can we stop right there?
Yeah.
You mentioned wind.
Okay.
Because all this stuff is going to go into my overall point of view and perspective on people who either, you know. Is that you?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to make the overall point at the end of all these conversations, all these miniature conversations we're having.
Okay.
Wind. Ian Book said, this is the windiest game I've ever played in. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what Malik said about it? And this is not to besmirch Malik in any way, but his comments about this game and Ian Book's. Ian Book says, the windiest game I ever played in. Malik says he threw the ball to the rollout to Javian Hawkins, the one where he caught it on the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
That play. Malik said, I threw the ball and all of a sudden it started hanging up there. And I was like, oh, that's the wind they were talking about.
Yeah.
Right? So, high wind. Malik throws a normal ball, not factoring in the wind, which gets it hung up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which we were crushing him about, you know, at the time. Mm-hmm. Stop lobbing it so, you know what I'm saying? So high, you know, but not realizing, you know, above a certain, you know, probably, you know, a couple feet up, that wind is catching it. Coach is a quarterback. He can recognize the wind having an effect on the game immediately. Think that factored into the play calling?
Probably a little bit, mm-hmm. but I thought, let me do this. Let me go, all right, I'm going to be all over the place really quick, but we come back on Monday, to yeah. it. Let me give you my three or four overviews of this whole game.
Mm-hmm.
Defense, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
They've improved week by week. Mm-hmm. Now, again, we're going to get back to all these in particular, so mm-hmm. I know I'm going to be jumping on a little bit of everything. They continue to improve, and they looked really good on Saturday. You learned two possible studs on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Keytrell Clark, mm-hmm. Monty Montgomery. Might be superstar level players.
Mm-hmm.
We got that going for us now, okay? You move on down the list. I thought Malik was pretty good.
What was his stats?
He ended up 16 of 19.
16 of 19 for 132 yards on a touchdown, no picks, a 93.9 QBR rating, along with 7 carries for 49 yards.
I thought he was pretty good. Play calling, and I think this is probably my last one.
Mm-hmm.
Play calling, I didn't hate. And that's where I know
you're going to have to elaborate.
That's where I know some may disagree with me. I'm okay with that. I didn't hate the play calling. Now let me say this too, just full disclosure, because I think all this matters, especially when we all watch football together, and this is kind of the family mm-hmm. on this show. They need to know. You need to know everything where I'm coming from. My son plays at 3:00. I'm listening to Paul Rogers for about the first half. So I'm listening to the first half. So now I get home, I watch the second half, then I go back and rewatch
exactly
the first half. So I think that's important though to say, because you feel differently sometimes. You know, you feel differently when you're watching a whole game and different stuff. So maybe that's why I feel the way I feel sometimes.
Right.
I know, Texter. I'll get to the Vols before long. So it was but by the way, they do have an easy fix too. We'll talk about that. I'll give you that real quick. But the thing is I didn't think it was that bad. And partially, I also am going off Coach Satterfield. When Coach Satterfield says, hey, look, I heard Drew Diener talking about it this morning. They ran like 45 plays against Notre Dame. Now, remember, Notre Dame is the number 3 team in America right now today. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are going to be other shows that are probably going to just do the Notre Dame sucks. That's fine.
Or they're overrated.
Yeah.
Or
because they, you know, they're not as good as Clemson, I don't think. So Clemson's probably going to beat them in a few weeks, and people are going to try to tell you. So just prepare yourself for that, that Notre Dame's terrible, blah, blah, blah. There should be no reason to care about this, all that good stuff. So, but for those of us that actually know sports on the field,
right?
You watch that and you say, okay, Notre Dame's got some dudes that can make plays. They've got NFL players on the field. Mm-hmm. The one thing you couldn't do there was, if you'll allow me, what Tennessee did.
You can't, the one thing you couldn't do.
You can't make where you basically wrap up a football, put a little bow on top, and go, here, you want seven? There you go. There's seven. You know, and then you want seven more? There you go. You know, that's the one thing you can't do. Louisville had this game 6-0. And remember, before we totally jump on Satterfield, and I don't know that a lot of people are jumping on Satterfield. I mean, I think some people do, some people.
Yeah, but maybe by Monday people have gotten their heads together.
Yeah. But I mean, this is a guy that in Notre Dame Stadium comes out in the second half, 6-0, drives it right down the field, goes for it on fourth down, goes and scores a touchdown, onside kicks it. Should have got it, but whatever.
I know. Yeah, at the time, listen, yeah. At the time, I was ready to FBI investigate the referees.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
But technically, yeah, this is the right call. But technically. They don't call that crap.
I know. It's like,
never
yeah.
called that ever.
And Notre Dame is one of those places where it's like.
No, I said it pregame. Yeah. I said, Miami's going to get that holding call that Louisville's not going to get. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, because. How is Louisville holding up so strong?
Yeah.
How did he beat him by that much? It must have been a receiver pick or something.
Yeah.
I was in that mood. So, but you know.
So and I'm not even going to do the win thing, really. I mean, I'll just do, even though I do, I'm glad you pointed that out, though, because I do think that people know that in the back of their heads.
So. I want it to be known that their quarterback said that's the windiest game he's ever been in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but I thought the play calling was there. I mean.
Your defense is playing phenomenal.
One block away, you score on the first play. I mean, I feel like Louisville moved the ball. I feel like the offensive line looked pretty good. I mean, and I'm okay if you have a different opinion and want to say, well, Steve, this is why I think it wasn't. Okay. I mean, yeah, sure. Can we throw the ball a little more? But, yeah, when you listen, you threw the ball 21 out of, like, 45 plays.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's a fact.
I mean, that's something. And to be fair, that's something I heard this morning. I was kind of listening when Drew said it. And Drew brought out the point and said they ran 80-some plays against Georgia Tech. I mean, to put it in perspective of how many plays they only ran. I mean, and a lot of that you got to give credit to Notre Dame. I mean, my gosh, Notre Dame, I thought on the last drive of the game, I thought the defense did a good job.
Yes.
You got them to third down three times.
Yes.
If that's not the only thing that made that – A tough drive was the fact that it was the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not the end of the game, you made them work down the field. Notre Dame's they're pretty good. I mean, and they got a good running back, and they used
they
7 minutes.
A 3-year quarterback. They have offensive line, all seniors or juniors and seniors line.
But Notre Dame wasn't throwing it down the field either. So the game was fast. It was a fast-played game, man. I mean, I remember I was at Elijah's game, and I'm listening to Paul Rogers, and he's like, and that's the end of the first quarter. I'm like, what?
Right. 72 rushes in the game.
Really?
Between the two teams. Notre Dame rushed the ball 49 times. We rushed the ball 23.
But they ran double the play, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. But again, I know people are on the phone lines, and today I definitely want to give people a chance to get in, but that's kind of my thing.
Frank, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Hey, fellas, I actually agree with everything that you all said. First of all, I think that, you know, we was very proficient. We took what the defense gave us, and for the most part, because of the conditions, we couldn't throw the ball like we wanted to. Defense played lights out, and I agree, Steve, that, you know, given the fact that Notre Dame ran twice as many plays as we ran, the fact the defense got tired at the end. Other than that, you know, we could have walked out there with the victory. And I don't believe in moral victories, but I'm very encouraged by what I've seen. Defense, again, played lights out. Clark and Montgomery need to be, well, especially Montgomery need to be on the, need to be on the field more. We had 4 sacks to their 0. And the last thing I want to say about our beloved Cowboys, Steve, you know, Andy Dalton may prove that Dak is Romo 2.0. Now, nothing against Dak. I think he's a great quarterback. But, you know, again, we go back to in 22 years, we've only won 2 playoff games. So if Dalton can take us at least to the second round.
Wait a second, Frank.
Yes, sir.
I got to know something right now. Why don't you believe in moral victories? And the reason I ask that is, please tell me it isn't guy who makes fun of you for having a moral victory, because that's what happens. You have a good game that you barely lose. That's an excellent performance, and then your rival, whichever rival you have, says, "Oh, let me guess, it's a moral victory." Yes, it's a moral victory. Why don't you believe in moral victories?
Okay, two reasons why. Okay, number one, we were not going to go into Notre Dame coming out with a victory unless we blew them out, because I think you pointed out with the onside kick, you know, I mean, we had to absolutely beat the brakes off of Notre Dame before we was going to win. If anything close, we're not going to win because they Notre Dame and we're Louisville. And the second thing is that, you know, in the Marines, we always say if butts, candy, and nuts. If the grasshopper had a 45, the birds wouldn't mess with them. I mean, you know, I'm encouraged, but we still lost the game, you know. And so moving forward, if we can play like that on defense, then we can win the rest of our games.
See, Frank, I appreciate that call. That was unfair. You're a cheater. You're a cheater. Because when you say Marines, it's like, yeah, Marines have no excuse. It's like, yeah, the military and the, you know,
no, the Marines can't have a moral victory. Yeah, right. I do agree with that.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right. But a regular human sportsman,
I can't be under German rule. And go, you'd be like, yeah, but my guys fought hard. I mean, listen.
We're in America talking about kein Einschluss und diese Nummer.
There's like, no second place.
But they showed up and fought. Yeah.
Right. That's look.
I mean, at least we showed up.
You're not first, you're last.
I remember my dad saying, yeah, that map you drew me, Marcus, that's 98% correct. That's going to get me killed.
I know.
It's going to run me right into a mountain.
Yeah. That's terrifying.
No, yeah, you mess up on flight maps.
Well, I think a lot of people too. I think it's the.
Did you see where I was going with that?
No,
one,
I get
like,
it.
Like, no, you can have moral victories.
But here's the thing. I think a lot of times that's just a verbiage we use though, where it's like, no, it's not that you're not okay with a moral victory.
You're not. You sound like you're accepting losing if you say a moral victory.
Right.
But in real life, if the goal is to take my again, I'll use the grade metaphor. If I go from 67 and my goal is to get an A and I finish it, you know, 89 or whatever, you know what I'm saying? That's huge improvement.
But listen, Frank, you heard Frank when he first called. I mean, that's why you kind of jumped on him for no reason.
No, I was.
Because he was happy. You could tell.
Here's the thing. I was using Frank as a conduit to jump on other people.
Because Frank is a good caller.
Right. No, yeah. he knows his stuff. Caller. But again, I was using him to address the nation.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, I didn't anticipate.
Because when he called, you could hear in his voice, he's like, hey man, I think y'all are right. I think we're
I didn't anticipate the Marine sayings.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Falon, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Hey, what's up, man? What's up, Steve?
What's up, man?
Enjoying it.
I know I didn't get my score to win that I called, but I believe it is a moral victory because you got to learn. You got to learn from something. Mm. I mean, even though I lost, you got to learn. Maybe I should have blocked this person longer, especially for the line. Maybe he could have busted that hole. And then you got to learn for something like maybe if I took this turn with the DB, I would have caught that ball, made an interception. Mm. But I'm very proud of my team. We did good up at Notre Dame. Even with the wind and all that, it was cool. We just got to get some linemen that hold up that lineup a little bit longer so we can get running backs to the hole. That's all we needed was a couple of big plays if we were to pull it up to get be able to run the ball with efficiency and not just here and there. Get some, we had to get more bigger plays to get the ball rolling.
Listen, I appreciate the call. I mean, again, it's really good. It's a really good defensive line. Let's just say a really mature defensive line. Don't make a lot of mistakes. You know that guy who snuffed out? Who was our guy that got hit on the screen that we thought was going to die?
Javian.
It was Javian? You realize that was their team captain who sniffed that out. He saw the way the line was moving in their screen mode. He sniffed that out really, really quick. That's a good player. 9, is it?
Yeah.
It's a good player. It happens. We were already in 1st and 20. Experienced lineman knows most likely a screen coming.
Yeah.
Something that can break big. That's a smart play. Smart player.
Sure.
That wasn't a bad play call. That was somebody sniffing it out like they were supposed to.
That's fair. Yeah.
Jason, thanks for joining us on Middays with Marcus Maben. What's on your mind?
What's going on, fellas? So the coach in me, right?
Mm-hmm.
The coach in me accepts moral victories, right? Because I'm always looking for some sort of development. Hey, listen, there's learning experiences everywhere. No one ever really loses because we can always learn. The fan in me, there's losses, and there are no moral victories. Whereas I'm happy to have watched them perform admirably with a team such as Notre Dame,
mm-hmm.
I am upset that we did not have the ability to take advantage of the position that we had put ourselves in to be within striking distance of beating them.
Second year rebuild doesn't even give the fan in you a moral victory place?
No, I got no first year. I don't know. I got first year rebuild. I had no space for moral victories. Like again, the coach part of me goes, you know what? Yeah, this is it's good for the team. They're going to be able to watch that stuff. They're going to be able to learn from the good things that they did and how they competed with some very good athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to grow from that. But when I sit back and I'm like, when I sit back in fan mode, I go, nah, man, we should have had that game. Because I do the same thing, like, when I'm coaching, I have moral victories. When I step outside the dugout and I'm reevaluating the game as a dad, I kind of go, man, we had them and we didn't take them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at. And I again, I enjoyed the game. It was a great game to watch. I really did. But we were right there. And
that's what still.
Thanks for the call.
That's a good finish to the call because that's what I felt Saturday. I was like, as they're driving, I'm going 12-7. I like what I saw today. I mean, as Notre Dame's driving, that final drive, I'm going because part of me was going, even if we stop them, Notre Dame's got a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're going to drive 80 yards
mm-hmm.
and score. So I'm going, it's probably over.
Mm-hmm.
So if they run this clock out, I can eat this one. But I agree with him too because I also was like, God, we had a couple chances. Like we could have won. Yeah, we could have got out of here with the win, man. Like
Steve, I left with about 2 minutes and 40 seconds to go in the game.
Yeah.
I left.
Yeah.
I didn't go to the car. I didn't turn it on the radio. I left. You know me. Yeah. I went to go get food because I wanted to do some post game. By the way, YouTubers, that was so much fun doing the post game. People should subscribe. Made for the Vills, the YouTube channel. I had a good time. We actually even jointly listen to the Louisville post game.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I left because I was satisfied with that performance.
Yeah.
Now, if they got the ball back and drove down, I'm going to be able to go back and watch it. I'm going to feel the exact same.
Yeah.
Scott Davenport, he said it. He put it in my brain really early. That one shot goes in or misses.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't play any different.
Yeah.
So Any play that was going to happen in that last minute, it was going to be the equivalent to the last shot.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't play any different for the game.
No.
The way you played, I'm like, and you told on yourself. Now I got it on tape.
See, that's what I kept saying right there. I kept saying, I'm watching the game and I'm going, they're telling on themselves though.
Yep.
No more crappy performances.
Yep.
Like, yeah, I'm not going to come in here again and go, well, they didn't play well, but the personnel and, I, you know, it's yeah. like, no, no, no.
And you know how you can do that?
Yeah.
You can do that by saying, now I can pull you, Chandler. Or
sure.
He's probably a bad example. Now I can pull anybody on that field who's not matching the intensity that you gave me in that last game.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, I can. I can go put little Minkins in, you know what I'm saying? Well, I can go put anybody in if you're not giving me Notre Dame effort. I owe it to you.
Yeah.
To put somebody in who's not performing with the intensity that they
performed. Well, we got that too. That's something we wanted was young guys. Lovie Jenkins got some run. Mm. Greedy Vance got some run.
Mm.
I thought Greedy Vance was pretty good. He got some run in there. He was doing well. I mean, like,
is he still a true freshman?
Yeah.
Or is he a redshirt freshman?
No, Greedy Vance and Lovie Jenkins are well, true? Greedy Vance is a true freshman. Nice. Yeah.
You know, we have these conversations, Steve, and thank goodness.
We have to break at some point to get Brian. To help Brian out.
Hey, guys, don't get me in trouble.
Yeah, it's 10:42.
I was going to go.
We can still take a couple more callers.
I know.
Oh, okay, callers got to be quick on this one.
Oh, they're fine.
Wayne, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Good morning, Marcus and Steve.
Morning.
I was going to talk to my friend, Brian. I'm away in very quick and brief. Mm-hmm. Be brief. I enjoyed the game, but I'm one, and I played it many, many years ago. I don't really believe in moral victories. I believe you get what you earned. And the bottom line is, we've got to make third down stop. You do that, you win the game. It's quite simple. And also, I think I told you guys last week, we're actually 2 years away. We have to build up the lines offensively and defensively. We're not physically strong enough on the defense. And you can see that, and that's what happened. But overall, it was a good effort, you know. And they can take courage from that. Eventually, they're going to put a whole game together. I don't know when.
Right.
Saturday would be a good day to do that.
Right.
But other than that, as always, guys, you know what I think. You're two of the best. And at the end of the day, as I always say, go Cards.
No doubt. Appreciate
that, man.
Joe, thanks for joining us. Fire away.
What's up, fellas? Hey, first off, I take moral victories. So like I was telling Brian, and I'm sure you guys know by now, born and raised in Tampa, my weekend consisted of the Rays going to the World Series and the Bucks beating the brakes off the Packers.
A lot of good things. So I enjoy
a lot of good. So the only thing I was telling Brian, I was like, man, the only thing that stinks is that I think they would have had a better shot if the Rays were playing the Braves. Now that they're playing that's going to be tough. But moral victory, so I'll take it. They're in the World Series. They got a $28 million payroll, and the Dodgers got a $128 million payroll. I'll take it. But here's the thing. You know, on Saturday's game, the only thing, to be honest with you, that I'm disappointed in is I think, I don't know what maybe you guys said this, that's the best the Louisville defense has played, not just in this year, probably in the last 3 or 4 years. I thought the defense was fantastic.
That's probably true.
So the fact that the Louisville defense, I thought, played lights out, and they couldn't get that victory. That's the only thing I was disappointed in. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, wasted good efforts. Yep, I get it.
When your defense comes out and lays the game out like that, you hope to God you're able to pull off the win, just for the kids. And I'll leave it at this, guys. I will say this. I think it's great that they're playing FSU this weekend, just because that's the game that those kids will get up for, because – a lot of them are from Florida. Mm. So if you can get this win anyway, anyhow, now, of course, FSU, of course, upsets UNC. They're coming in with momentum. But if you can get that W anyway, anyhow, on Saturday, I think these guys could win out from there.
No,
I really do.
It could be. Listen,
my thoughts, man. Guys, you have a good week. I'll talk at you tomorrow.
Appreciate it, man.
It could be good. Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 DeVille.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben, 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. The two calls, we didn't get to really give that attention. But would you agree the theme today was kind of in the moral victory department? Yes or no? Where's your criticism lie?
Yeah, I liked Joel's call because I do agree with him on that, though, where it's like, man, when you get a lights-out performance like that from one side of the ball, it's like, oh, we should have took advantage of that.
Where would that win have ranked?
Not see? As high as it should have. Yeah,
see?
Yeah.
See? You see, yeah. See what happened? Yeah. Where would that win have ranked for you?
It was needed. I'd say it's still a top 10 victory in my lifetime.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all make me sick.
But it would have been like.
No, I agree with y'all, you, Brian. Too, I agree with
and
you.
And everybody listening, y'all make me sick. And Marcus, the dude in the mirror, he makes me sick too.
So what do you think? Higher?
No, I get what he's saying. No, I think he's saying he agrees.
You say lower or
and
higher?
And we should all be disappointed ashamed. In no, ourselves.
Ashamed. Yeah. Ashamed of ourselves.
Because I agree. I agree with Brian. I'm like.
Okay, why is that the case, Steve? 81-50, 93-9.
Top five team at Notre Dame. South Bend.
You spoiled little brats because Reggie did it.
No.
We expect to win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I think you were kind of like, yeah, you go up there and get a dub. And, I mean, you're 1-4.
I think because we were 1-3 going into it, it wouldn't have been as high because it didn't have as much significance. Like, it wasn't like the West Virginia game or Rutgers.
Okay, yeah. If we were number 7 and they were number 4, that would be higher?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, no, and listen, and I totally agree with where you're going. Because I agree. Because, listen.
You've made that point this morning.
I almost said in the first segment, I almost said as they're driving, I'm kind of like, kind of good. I mean, if we win, because I swear I almost got to where I was like, how much more excited would I be than I am right now that we were better? Like, I've almost more set my mind
Golly.
On go finish the season well. Like, the finishing the season well to me meant more than necessarily getting that.
Look at that top 10.
No, and they're right. It should be. Because looking back on it, it's like, man, you go up to Notre Dame.
No, they're saying it would be. I'm saying it should be.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be. It wouldn't
I think
be.
It'd still be at the back end of the top 10.
Yeah.
Okay, is it program changing?
No.
No, because I don't.
We've already had it happen.
Yeah, we're not. We don't need a win at Notre Dame to be program changing.
Okay.
Like, we got a pretty good program.
Kentucky over Tennessee or Louisville over Notre Dame? Which win would be bigger?
Probably Kentucky over Tennessee.
100%.
Right? Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
If you beat Notre Dame.
I mean, did you hear Tony Dungy the whole game? I mean, this Louisville team's, they're much better than their record. I mean, this Louisville team's good. I mean, Brian Kelly told me all week, this Louisville team's really good. I mean, like, there wasn't a – Kentucky went out, they beat Tennessee, and Kentucky don't even field an offense. I mean, like Kentucky's terrible. They're going to get their teeth kicked in for the rest of the year outside of Vanderbilt. So it's like, there's nothing really –
You don't think they're going to blow Missouri out?
They might beat Missouri. They won't blow them out. They might beat Missouri. But, I mean, that
– Where is it? Is that Missouri?
I mean, they're staring 4 wins, tops, right? So it's like, yeah, but them beating Tennessee at Tennessee, I mean, it's an embarrassment to Tennessee. Like, you listen to Tennessee, Tennessee's already fired their defensive line coach. They're like, and Pruitt walked in, and he's like, hell, I don't know who needs to get fired. Look, the scoring, the offense was the problem
bleep
for Kentucky.
You're cool.
Listen.
Good half-baked reference. Listen, I like that.
Tennessee can fix everything by just starting Harrison Bailey, which I think they're going to play him against Alabama. That's a very simple fix there at quarterback. But they walked right in, and they're like, y'all know what? Look, the coaches sit there. It was like a game of Russian roulette because they knew. We lost to Kentucky.
Somebody got to go.
One of us are gone. And he walked in and said, defensive line, you got to go, bro.
Oh, Josh Strauss.
Yeah, y'all out. Fired. Because the fans were going to demand somebody got to go. So yeah, I mean, if you beat Notre Dame, I mean, Louisville's beat Notre Dame, Florida State, I mean, just in the last, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you've hung in there with Clemson in big games.
No, listen, I'm telling you,
The national
perception is, and here's the thing. I was worried today that the anti-moral victory guys were going to be too loud, right?
Yeah.
And again, this coaching staff is human, right? Yeah. And I didn't want their determination and peace of mind to be disturbed by this conversation that you and I are having.
Yeah.
I didn't want them to say, did you hear Marcus and Steve saying it would have been a back end top 10 win of all time if we would have beat number 4 Notre Dame?
Yeah.
And they're criticizing anything that I did? You know what I'm saying? I would want to think his pride says, no, give me my damn respect.
Yeah.
Right? Because that kind of game is what makes everybody think Satterfield's the next SEC coach.
Yeah.
Or Big Ten coach.
Yeah.
Local reaction to Satterfield is when the national perception says,
let me ask something
I got to get him out of Louisville.
About if this is like a big time victory, do you think that there's an asterisk next to it was a road game against Notre Dame because of no crowd?
Yes.
And that plays a factor in some people's thoughts because they're like, well, it wasn't really a win at Notre Dame.
I do. I think this whole year, because here's the thing, that game feels much bigger if there's Notre Dame fans, and then because you know what made that Louisville? Did you go up to South Bend last time?
I did.
Okay.
No, they're still pissed about
that. Because that's what I told my friends, I was like, man, if this was a normal everyday year, I'd be on my way to South Bend right now.
Oh, right. And what made that so big, Brian, was we all got up there and we all got in that stadium and we went, Jesus, it's a lot of Louisville fans. It was like, this is awesome.
Their commentators are still mad and on record for saying, like, That crowd.
They still talk about it.
Yeah, I know.
They said Louisville and Georgia were the two teams that flooded Notre Dame Stadium.
And so you get the big time respect for the Louisville program, and B, you hurt their national perception put it this way, there's something inside of them that got hurt too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That I can't believe Louisville just came here and shouted us out and won.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. And they look good doing it.
Yeah.
And they were swaggy doing it. All that good stuff. It was awesome. Roy, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on your biggest win in program history. I think it would have been the biggest win for Satterfield. It would have been his biggest win.
Yeah.
And he really needed that kind of win to set his...
You don't think the Michigan win would have been better? Or you mean just him at Louisville?
He just means him at Louisville.
Okay.
Yeah. Him at Louisville. Okay. Yeah, him at Louisville.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say this because I think, and I'm going to go back. Let me go here real quick. I think Bobby won games he never should have won at Louisville too early. Yeah. And I think that has spoiled our program. We are a good football program. Bobby had great wins, and we expect those great wins all the time. And I think that has put a lot of pressure on coaches like Satterfield to bring us to that level right away. We joined the ACC and beat teams we never should have been able to beat at that time in our program history. And with those wins led to Bobby's fall fast because he beat teams he shouldn't have beat. And now Satterfield's being held to that same kind of level. Like, we think we are at the level of Notre Dame all the time, and right. We are not there as a program. We don't have the depth in players and bodies. And Bobby never did have it, but he was able to game plan and steal wins that he never should have been able to win. And that is the mindset of the Louisville fans. We think we are something as a program that we just aren't yet.
Listen, Roy, listen, I appreciate the call. I refuse. Brian, go ahead and play us out before like I said, I don't want to get everybody fired.
We'll get to some of these texts when we come back, too, because we have got a ton of texts, and I feel like people are really trying to get in.
We see them all, people. Yeah. When we come back, we're going to take your
stuff. We'll rapid-fire them a little bit.
During commercial break, if you have any thoughts on this first half, if you want to go a certain direction, please, please text in 3831-93.9. Rolling along, middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville.